Shalom Aleichem, a very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Baba Basra Tzadi Dalid, Baba Basra 94a, pagination is 187. We'll start on the facing page, five lines up at the new Mishnah. Hamocha Peris Lachaveru, a person is selling produce to his friend. Hareze Mekabel Olav, the buyer has to accept upon himself. Rova Tinofos L'Sa'ah, a certain amount of impurities per a large quantity. So the exact measures that were accepted in their society is not important to us at this moment, but there's a concept that there is a tolerance for a certain amount of impurity. It's considered normal, and that's acceptable. It's considered a valid sale. So that you might have a situation, for example, that a person today buys a bushel of apples and one of them is rotten. We would need to know if that is interpreted and understood as a flawed dimension of the sale. This bad apple has to be replaced. Or is that an impurity tolerance? That's something that happens. People buy seeds or bulbs to plant. So not every one of the seeds or bulbs will necessarily sprout. And it could be there's a degree of tolerance over there to the benefit of the seller. I sold you what's normal. It's called 25 bulbs, and a certain number might actually be bad, but that's, I still sold you what's called in the market, that number of bulbs. In the actual case of the Mishnah, though, it's describing the fact that together with the grain is a certain amount of junk. The Mishnah continues and describes different types of produce and the junk that's with them. Sometimes it's the item went bad, and sometimes there are impurities that come with it, sand and the like. You'll take a look at the last words on the page. Borer tsuror migrono shel chavero. If a person pulls out a pebble out of the grain of his friend, the grain that his friend intends to sell, and at the moment that pebble is included in the pile by virtue of this logic of tolerance, and he's meeting the measure that is required, be it weight or volume, he's meeting that measure, and he's allowed to include the pebble. But once this person pulled the pebble out, he's not allowed to put it back in, which is a principle that we have on this topic, is that as long as it's in there naturally, you're allowed to leave it. But once it's out, you're not allowed to put it back in. And therefore, this person who took the pebble out, that pebble that could have been sold at the price of wheat, because it's included as an impurity that's acceptable. But now that you pulled it out, you just damaged him. And therefore, nosin lo demechitin, you would have to pay the value of that pebble had it been wheat, because that's what's going to have to replace the pebble in the volume of this product that's being sold. And the comment is that it's, the Rush says, Dina de Garmi. It's this principle that under these circumstances, the item has a certain value. Normally, pebbles don't have value. They're free for the taking. But under these particular circumstances, it has value. I'm not referring to pebbles that are landscaping quality. Obviously, those have value in and of themselves. They're sold in bags. They or by the truckload, there's a value to it. I'm talking about a pebble that has no value, that we in our culture will recognize. It has no value. Under these circumstances, it has value. And even though there's nothing intrinsic, it's causing the damage of its place of grains of wheat. So our Mishnah described that there's a rate of impurity that would have to be accepted by the buyer. Let's skip down to midway on the page, maybe a drop below. The first word on the line is lun, and then we begin. Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna said, in Bala Nafos, if the buyer decides to run the grain through a sieve and detect all the impurities, Menafa es kulo, he's allowed to do so and have a claim. He's going to do the entire grain. And if he finds that the level of impurity is greater than the one described by the Mishnah, he's going to be able to claim the entire difference, not just the amount that's greater than the acceptable rate of impurity. He's going to be able to claim the entire impurity back. Amri la dina v'amri la knasa. Some understand the reasoning for that rule as a law, and some understand the reasoning for that ruling as a punishment, as a fine. And there's going to be a difference how you understand it in the case where we know that the person selling it did not do anything wrong at all. Let's see the reasoning. Amri Ladina, some say that once you find a greater level of impurity, you're allowed to claim the entire amount because when a person pays with money, he expects good produce. Verova lotarachinish, and for this small level of impurity, people don't bother themselves to start making a claim. And that's why it's tolerated. Yosa mirova, but if it's more than that amount, torachinish, people are willing to inconvenience themselves to do the claim. Vikevin de torach, torach bekule. And once he inconveniences himself, he's going to claim the entire amount. He's not just going to claim the extra little bit that's over the acceptable rate. He inconvenienced himself, he's going to claim the entire amount. If you picture it, if a person is ripped off by a penny or two, he might choose not to go back to the store and show the receipt to customer service. But if he was ripped off by $10.02, then when he comes to make the claim, he may very well want his $10.02, because once I came back, I want, maybe it's not as pronounced on 2 cents, maybe it would be more understandable if we gave an example of a dollar to $10. So once he's coming back for $10, if the number really was 11, he's going to want the full 11. And that's the approach of Dina, that he's allowed to claim it from a judicial perspective, from a legal perspective. V'amri lo knasa, but there are those who say that what's going on over here is a knas, a fine. Rova shchiach, it's normal to have that level of impurity, and really we weren't discussing that. Yosa lo shchiach, more than that amount is not normal. And we're concerned that this person mixed in additional impurities to stretch the product. So you have this in different areas. A person could try to stretch the product. There was once a story of a person who accidentally put milk into their fleishik soup. And after they realized that they put the milk in, they must have poured the cup without looking what was in it. After they realized that they poured in this cup, they realized they possibly just chafed up the soup. It's milk and meat together. And they came to the Rav, and the Rav said, give me a few minutes, I'll clarify it. So he called in the milkman, and he asked the milkman, tell me honestly, how diluted is the milk? Apparently, some Eastern European country in the 1800s, the Rav knew it was diluted. Now, is that right? Is that wrong? But the milkman gave him an honest answer, and then he turned back to the family, and he said, it's not going to trafe up your soup, because if it's a humongous pot of soup, and the milk is diluted to a certain rate, it's not all milk, and therefore it's not going to trafe it up, because it's batel b'shishim of the milk that's really there. So there is this concept of people trying to dilute it and stretch something. He's not allowed to do that. There's a certain level of impurity. If it occurred naturally, he's allowed to leave it. But once we see a rate greater than what naturally occurs, we're concerned that he did it purposely. V'kevin de'oriv, once we're convinced he mixed it in, konsur rabbanan bekulei, the rabbis gave him a punishment. Now, it's not such an intense punishment like he has to give it for free, but we gave him a punishment because we're reasonably convinced that something's up over here and he has to make good on the entire amount of impurity. Now, what would happen if we were dealing with a case that we know for a fact that the person, the seller, did not mix anything in? That it just, this is how it naturally occurred. It's an impurity level that's greater than what's normally expected. So if the rule would be Dina, that this is all about a person forgiving until a certain rate and not forgiving above a different rate, so certainly the buyer would have a claim. I don't care how it got in there, it's there. And I'm claiming that I didn't get my product. But if you approach it from the level of knasa, we're giving a fine. So if it happened naturally, would we impose, number one, would we impose that the person has to make good on the entire level of impurity? He says to you, I didn't do anything wrong. And number two, it all occurred naturally. Does he have to make good on anything? Or there's no room for a knas, and he could simply say, I gave you something that was naturally occurring. The Rama writes in Reish Chaf Tes, Aleph, Yesh Omrim Dafka B'delo Yavdinon Irvon. We're only going to impose the knas if we're dealing with a case that it's possible, probable, that he mixed in the extra. Aval im yadua shehamocha lo irvon. But if we know for a fact that the seller did not mix anything in, tzarech lekabel ashiurim, then the buyer has to accept the normal impurity level, the hamosa yinakelo, and the extra will be deducted, will be made good. The seller will have to make good on that, on the extra. For yesh omrim, but there are those who say, debiyodua shalo irvan, if we know for a fact that he did not mix it in, tzarech lekabel olav hakol, the buyer simply has to accept it, because according to this approach of knas, if there's no knas, there's no knas, and there's no reason to make an issue of refund, because he didn't do anything wrong. Again, according to the first reason that the Gemara gave, Dina, a person is only accepting of the natural level of impurity, and beyond that point, he would have a claim both on the extra and on the original rate of impurity. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.